This is KERA News. The traditional career at a single company with a pension and retirement is rare these days. For many, it's about piecing together part-time or temporary jobs to pay the bills. Recently on Think, host Chris Boyd spoke to professor of economic history, Lewis Hyman, about how we got to a gig economy.
In the last 40 years, the story has been largely one of insecurity, the world that we all thought we were going to come back to, that world of the post-war, of the secure job, the defined benefit plan, the pension and the health insurance. That world's really been on the ebb for quite some time, long before Uber even was a word that we learned outside of German class.
You say that post-war companies minimized risk, modern ones maximized profits. Are those two values mutually exclusive?
Well, it's just a place where you start. You know, what are we aiming for? Are we aiming for a world where we're trying to increase next quarter's profits? Or are we aiming for a world in which we want sustainable long-term profits? So even in the midst of recessions, these large industrial corporations were still very profitable. They employed millions of people. They provided good lives to their workers, to their executives, to their investors. And yet we somehow turned away from that model of the corporation around 1970.
You took pains to remind us that, you know, what we think of as the good old days in the middle of the 20th century with all these stable jobs that you could stay in for 40 years if you wanted to, those kinds of jobs were only available typically to white men in this country.
This is a fundamental exclusion. This is the basis on which that security was justified, was legitimated, that we are propping up white men so that they can take their place as the breadwinner. And the trick was that a lot of people weren't white men, for instance, women and people of color, and actually a lot of people who weren't even American citizens. And so really the question is who counts in the economy? And it's on the backs of those people, women, people of color, migrant workers, that the rehearsal for today's insecure economy for all of us was conducted.
The way that we're set up is, you know, we hope that most Americans can get their health insurance and other kinds of benefits, retirement savings, through work. And that's just not available anymore, even though sort of the way that government is set up assumes that most of us still receive these benefits through work.
It's easy to forget that manufacturing jobs, for which we are now nostalgic, were terrible jobs for most of their history, right? For 100 years before the post-war period, manufacturing jobs were where you went to get exploited and not well paid and maybe to lose an arm.
Right.
And it's only in the post-war period that we begin to make them work for everybody, to turn that productivity gains into the ranch house and the garage and the boat and the two kids and the spouse. But we still have our institutions are built around the belief that that social relationship, that political relationship of employer-employee is something that we need to hang our hats on, hang all of our other benefits. In the book, I read about how it's very similar to marriage. You know, it's gone from being the normal experience of most people to being a pretty exceptional experience and pretty class stratified. And it's very similar in that way to economic security, where economic security went from being something that even working class people could enjoy to really being the province of the sort of top 20% of Americans.
For Americans who work multiple jobs, do they typically do so because they want extra money? Maybe they're saving for a down payment on a house or something, or because they need extra money to just cover their basic expenses. Is it possible to generalize?
Where do we draw that line between supplementary and primary income? And certainly the language of how temps have been talked about since the very first days of, you know, women in white gloves going in to type up some extra forms has been about this question of supplement, that their work doesn't matter. It's moonlighting. It's extra money for that luxury good. And that's all well and good as long as you do have enough to live. But for many people, about half of all the freelancers, this is how they're making their money. This is how they are earning their rent and paying for their kids' shoes. And this is the world in which that is not guaranteed.